another
I'd like to
client.
Mention that over 30 years ago when I was in high school, as every headmaster, they tried very hard to get us to behave. Not always an easy thing with high school boys. So one of the things he tried was a scheme that any class that behaved themselves for a month would get an outing. So only 1 month, our class, so to speak, won the title of best behaved or well behaved class. Better than, I suppose, any other class. That was something. So then obviously the question became back and forth, where's the outing to, for how long, etc. We wanted a whole day outing, we wanted a couple of hours, we wanted somewhere expensive, we wanted somewhere cheap. Eventually it took us to what's called the, I think it's now called the Unilever factory near Manchester. And we all complained bitterly that that's not an outing. But the truth of the matter is, it was actually a very interesting experience. I think the only time in my life I've ever been to a big factory. It's a huge factory. With the machines there that were producing, every couple of seconds, hundreds and hundreds of bottles of soap, or if you remember the hand soap, bars of soap. It was an amazing thing to see these machines. I don't know if you've ever been to a big factory. It was amazing to see. It was the massive conveyor belts, and they would have huge vats, and out would come these machines, and everything was wrapped, and the machines would do everything. It was fascinating to see. And they tried to convince us, obviously, to buy their products, and to that end, they told us a lot about how brilliant they are. And one of the things they did was they showed us a video of the story of the one who opened up the company, Mr. Lever, he was called, and he lived about a bit more than 100 years ago. And he left an impression on me as follows. This person was a very poor man, Mr. Lever. He worked as an assistant in a grocery shop in the older days. I'm sure a lot of you might remember, but you'd have all the stuff at the back, and the person would stand in front of a desk, and you'd ask him, I want that product, or some of that, and take out a brown paper bag, and start putting it in, and on it, he would write down the things that you bought, make a calculation, and give it to you. That's how it was. You didn't have where you go and choose the stuff yourself. So this is Mr. Lever worked as assistant in a grocery shop. That's how they did it. And one of the things that they sold in the shop was soap. They sold soap. How did they sell it? It would come in a massive block, a little bit like a loaf of bread which hasn't been sliced. And then you'd say, I want one slice or two slices of soap. That's what you would say. And you would cut it very, very thin. You'd then get a very, very thin slice of soap, or two slices, whatever you asked for. And then you put it in this brown paper bag, you'd come home, and you'd go for a bath. Those days, you'd go for like, you know, I think once when the Queen Victoria had a bath like once a month or something. Those days was like, you know, when you had this chus to go for a bath, you'd break off a tiny bit of this little soap and go in, and that was the soap of those days. He worked as an assistant in the grocery shop for years, and suddenly came up with the brilliant idea, the Einfach, that it doesn't really make sense to do it like that. He's going to come up with a new idea, a bar of soap. Instead of having to slice it and it would crumble, he came up with the idea of a bar of soap. Which actually nowadays, I'd speak to George, they don't know what it is, but when we grew up, everybody had a bar of soap. You got this bar, the hand size fit in your hand, very convenient, and had it stamped usually with the company that it came from, etc. And it hit off. People much preferred, instead of getting a thin slice, they preferred the bar of soap. So he branched away from being an assistant to a grocery shop to eventually opening up his own shop where he sold bars of soap. And it was very, very, very mutzlach, extremely mutzlach. And in fact, by the time he died, he had a couple of other factories, 20 different companies, 20 different places where he became a multi-billion business. And what's interesting, at least, is that it started for one point, one change. But the change was a real one. It was a real benefit to people. It would really change. And I think there's a certain Musa Haskim. So we talk about changing our lives. Many times we look for something very, very, very big, and sometimes it doesn't even happen. But when we look for something which is a real change, small, but it's a change which actually does something different in our lives, that can make a very, very big difference. That's the Musa Haskim of that story. And so today I'd like to speak about benching. I feel that benching is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, say, do raisa. It's no less than shufa, no less than lulavah. So if you wash the day and you bench, and you carry mitzvah seder rice, and mitzvah seder rice is a choshev mitzvah. Unfortunately, sometimes certain mitzvahs get more, you know, I mean, you say to shufa, we prepare for weeks before, like learning the halachas, lulavah gets very excited. The mitzvah seder rice or benching is a very, very special mitzvah. Siddur Shesh Avodah writes about it in a very lot, Arichus. So that's what we're going to speak today, Mitzvah Shem, to be mechazek in the bench. I brought out a bencher. And there's a few different things I brought out about it. I also want to speak about that. What's the te'elis of this new bencher? So, the first thing I want to mention is that the Chinuch writes, this is one of the early Rishonim, one of the very early Rishonim, that a person who benches the Kavanah is muftach, he's guaranteed that he'll never struggle with Parnassah. Now, nowadays, you go to every single sefer, you open up, there are many skulas. It's very, very rare to find a scholar which with that language from such an early Rishon. From an early Rishon, he says, it's muftach, it's guaranteed that he'll never struggle with Parnassah if his benches become on. And it's a very beautiful story that Rav Biderman Shlita brings about Rav Shapiro. Rav Shapiro had a minhag that whenever he would go to a school, he would be invited to the schools to test them. At the end of the test, he would always give out a small treat to the children. That was his minhag. We test them, we say, well, I did very well. Give them a small treat. I just want to say, in the Indian, it's a very, very beautiful story. I've seen that in two different svarim. Rabbani Steiner said, Tzadikos Shabrocha, that there was a certain person that saw that went like, not completely off the, went away from Yiddishkeit a very lot. But he always did his best to help waste the satir. Help waste the satir, always give them money, to try to, he'd always complain for them. Even though he wasn't firm, when the council tried to close them down, he'd help to fight for them. So they once asked him, like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? So he said that there's a little child who was once in the school, he struggled, he was dyslexic, he had all kinds of leading issues, which in those days he never recognized. And he did extremely badly in the school, he had a terrible time. And one time, Vanim Steinman came in to test them. What happened was, Rabbi Yishtam asked him a question, which he did not know the answer. So Rabbi Yishtam asked him an easier question, he still didn't know the answer. Then he asked him a third question, which any child or anybody also did not know the answer. At the end of the lesson, at the end of the test, Rabbi Leib gave every child a treat for the answer, and to him he gave three treats. So he said, why do I get three? So he said, that Shvorchu doesn't reward success, Shvorchu rewards effort. And you try three times to give an answer, you should know that in Hashem's eyes, you are a success. And what happened was, he said, even though he didn't manage to work with him at the end of the day, he struggled, but he always left that part. Anyway, so you have to recognize the child's tried, he hasn't succeeded, when it's come. So Mesh Shapiro always had a minute, and then he would do a test. At the end of the test, he would always give a small treat, a prize to the children for participating in the test. One time he came and he realized he had forgotten to bring a prize. Completely forgot about it. So he didn't know what to do, he had to bring something. So what he did was, he told them over this chinuch. This chinuch that the person who benches the kavana is guaranteed that he will always have panos and always have food. And one of the children took it very much to heart. And what happened was he decided from then on to his bench, the bench, to bench properly. And as we all know, that's this Bishpil's nifter. 10 years before the Second World War, one of those little boys went through the horrors of the war. The Midman describes how miracle after miracle happened. He was put in the kitchens of Auschwitz, he was had food, and then one time the Nazi Machshamoi told him that he has to dig with bare hands, and suddenly water came and he was thirsty. Story after story, we saw the reality of this Havtocha. It's very rare that you see a promise from a mission. The Zohar Kodesh in three different places the Zohar Kodesh in the Torah talks about the Chashivas of benching. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that somebody who benches the Kavana, then he'll be zeicher to a place in Olam Haba where certain Yesodos and secrets which nobody else gets to hear, they will be zeicher to. That's one place. Another place, the Zohar Kodesh tells us that the person who benches the Kavana is zeicher to Hashoras HaShchina. The third place, that the person who benches the Kavana, and that Shvorchu brings on him brachas and shefa and yeshuas, that everything comes with it. The Siddur Shesh Avodah himself writes that the whole te'elis of benching, this I put a whole page of it, is that right towards the end. The whole te'elis of benching is to cultivate by a person the middle of Akar Satov to Hashem. Middle of Akar Satov. There's a word from the Zaha Shimshim based on the Rashi and Shoiftim. Most of us, even if you don't remember all the details of Shoiftim, the Sefer Novi of Shoiftim, most of us can give very easily a summary of Shoiftim. What's a summary of Shoiftim? Chayisot do Avelos, they get thrown, to get enslaved by another nation, Amor, Moyor, Midyan, Plishtim, and then they do Tshuva, and the Shoiftim comes, saves them, and then afterwards they have peace for a number of years, and then again they start doing Avelos again. And that's why one of the psukim that comes up a very lot in Shoiftim is that Chayisot start doing Avelos. But you see, for after about the Chayisot again continue to do Avelos. In one place, there's an exception. Rashi Shoiftim mentions from Chazal, it's a Medrash, that after the Shiur of Dvoram, Bob and Avinoyam, it says, Chayisot did Avelos, Vayechtu, Chayisot did Avelos. It doesn't say you see, for after, they continue to do Avelos. It just said they did Avelos. Says Rashi, why is this the exception? Says Rashi, once they sang Shiur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then everything they'd ever done wrong was completely forgotten. Everything they'd done wrong was completely forgotten, as if they had never sinned before. Since it's as if they had never sinned before, so therefore now that they did Avelos, it was like the very first time they'd ever done an Avelos. That's what Rashi means for Chazal. Says it's a Shimshon Parshas B'Shalach. What's the idea? So you give a maybe about a Shemoshon. Imagine your person has a builder. It's very frustrating sometimes. He comes late, does this. But the end, the extension that he does, or the building that he does, comes out exactly as you want it. So what happens is, you are willing to overlook all the frustration. I'm sure you're all learning to drive. There are certain teachers that come late, charge, mess them around. If they help them pass the first time, then what happens is, they don't care, everything else is forgotten about. Says the Zaha Shemeshon, everything that Hashem created, the practice that we have, Ramban says in Parshas Bo, is the Iker in on the time Achabit, that's what the Ramban said. We don't have another reason other than Hashem wanted us, come that we should come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, thank you Hashem for what you've done to us. That is the Iker Tachlis HaBir. So therefore now that Dibrei HaBog and Aminam had done that, so Pshat, everything else is forgotten. You came to your Tachlis, you've done your job. So of course you've done things wrong in the past, but that we can overlook. And he also adds that that's Pshat in the Pasuk, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, Ki Lo'olam Chasdoi. Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the good. Then kilolam chasto, you're guaranteed that you'll always have chesed for Hashem. Some do makin tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kilolam chasto, hodu LaHashem ki tov, thank Hashem for the good, kilolam chasto, you'll continue to have chesed. I don't say this, there are four brachas in benching, through the Raisa, four through the Rabbanon. To say two very short mahalchin in the Avodah, we just mentioned that Avodah is to be makin tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank Hashem. One mahalch is like this, Chavos HaVos in Shav Chinna tells us that it's a big mistake that sometimes people do. So they say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. When you don't go into details, the gratitude is very, very limited. Real gratitude is when you go into details. Even if a person says it with their spouse, thank you. It's very meaningless. You say, this the supper was very tasty, it's nice that it was ready. Different things. A person goes into details, that's much more, it's much greater kashus. So he says that the way a person should do it, because he also writes, is first a person should think about what does he have as a human being? What can be makin tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a human being? After that, think, what does he have special as being a part of Klal Yisrael? After that, what does he have special that in his own specific family? And after that, as a specific individual, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give extra to him? Going through the four brachos of benching, you can say like this. The first bracha is Zon. As they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives food to the entire world. Every human being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides food. That's HaKadosh HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he gives food to everybody, even every animal gets food from Hashem. The second bracha is Bedu Lecha, we thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, for Bismillah, for Torah Mitzvahs. That is Beyuchat for us as Klal Yisrael, we are the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave more than any other. Then afterwards we go into what Tzaddikim get, Rachim Noah, David and Shlomo, and it's referring to those who serve Hashem, Beyichud, that they get extra Hashgacha Pratis from Hashem. That means we make it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats them on an extra level. If a person zecher to do mitzvahs and to be a chinuch of those who serve Hashem within Klal Yisrael, then he has a higher level. And finally, in Atur Ha-Native, Chazal will come out that bracha that after the total destruction of Yavne, Beta, went here, They went to Beta, even though they'd done so many Aveiros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after them, and that means even when the person's done things wrong, that's the big chiddush of HaTeva HaMeitiv. That even when we've done things wrong, we deserve to be punished, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still looks after Klal Yisrael and protects them, and that's the HaTeva HaMeitiv Bochum. Another malach, in a similar way, is there's a difference between the way the government looks after a nation, even a benevolent government, even a nice government, and the difference between, let's say, a tzedakah and a parent. A government, their tafkid, if they're a good government, is to make sure that the people have what to live, what to survive. Food, basic needs. A tzedakah organization or local organization would want to make sure that people not just live, that they're able to thrive a little bit, they're able to succeed, to have atzlocha, to be matzliach in their lives. A father wants the best for a child. It's not enough the child thrives. He looks for the best, make sure the child does whatever he needs to succeed. The first Baruch HaZon is K'miyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking after the whole world. That everybody in the world has how to live, how to survive, how to have enough to live off, to be able to survive. In Noyde Lecho, already HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on a higher, so to speak, a moral level, that to give what we need to thrive, to succeed. Torah mitzvahs, Eretz Yisrael, Vismila, the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's already a higher level, that's not just enough to survive, but to have even more, to have what a person needs to thrive, to succeed. Finally, in Rachim, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about like a father with rachmanis, with compassion. Ve'enu, zonenu, panasenu, chakalenu. That a father is not enough to give a child what he needs, to succeed. He wants to do the best for him. And that Teva HaMeitiv is like a father who's got a child that's misbehaving. And even so, the father cares for him. A person, that's the avodah of benching, is the avodah is to develop more and more appreciation across the Teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just a few more ma'amorim. Arizal writes that a person who benches the Kavanah will be zichet Ruach HaKadosh. And more, that according to the amount of simcha that a person has during benching, that's how much success and bracha will be given to him. The Siddush HaShavodah writes that one of the big struggles in davening and in benching, it's one of his Yisodos, which he writes in a number of places, is learning when to pause. This is something which works very hard for this benching. So a person says, Baruch HaTorah Shem Kimei Ma'azan Sarum Kulek, it doesn't work. Baruch HaTorah Hashem, Elikeinu, Melech HaOlam, even if it's a very short pause, very short pause. But learning when to break it up, Azon HaSoilo, Kuloi, Veturoi, each time learning how to put the... And he writes like this, Siddush HaShavodah himself writes, that he trained himself never to say more than three words at a time. Because more than three words already a person is not able to think about. And he did it for Pesukei Tehillim, out of other places in davening. And he says that if a person learns to change, to make a tiny pause at the correct space of the phrases, it will change his benching completely. That's what he writes. So that's what I did, is to work out a very lot of these, that was the Ikar Avodah, to make sure to put the spaces, and also to find a translation which is true to the explanation, but also easier to many times have a translation which is too dogmatic, too simple, to the words, but it doesn't actually give the meaning. The person has to learn that Huneisim Lechem L'chol Boso Kiloyim Chastoy means to learn to put the pauses between the words. It changes. If a person is makbi to do it, Baruch Hashem, I brought out this bench a few months ago. I met somebody last week. Until he introduced himself, I didn't know his name. He told me that he started benching like this and changed his benching. It's like a soyek shesat shemanis panosom. A person has to be aware that by changing the phrases, how a person puts the phrases can make a huge difference. Many times a person will be like this, kihu kel, and then zon mufanis doesn't work. Kihu kel zon mufanis lakoyim, meitiv lakoyim. By just making the pauses of the phrases, it can manage. The Siddush HaShavodah himself in Shema and other places actually tells us where he put his pauses. Where did he put his spaces? It's a time, it's something which learns. A person really should do it all of davening, it's just it's a lot of effort. But when a person learns to put the space, it can make a very, very, very big difference. Just that small, it's not even necessarily such a big difference in how much time. It makes a big difference. A person times themselves. How do a person think they spend on benching? You'd be surprised if a person wants to spend 5-7 minutes on benching, is benching a lot slower than most times. Usually, unfortunately, we don't give benching, which the Mitzvah Seder Isaac mentioned, that the chashivas it is. the Mishabur brings from the Rikeach. The Rikeach, the get a vision. Now the end of fate does not count in the whole of Benji. There's no letter end of fate in the whole Benji. Why not? Because he says the three words of anger of Hashem, Af, Shetzef, Ketzef, three middles of anger that Hashem has, so to speak, wherever they are. And that if a person benches the Kavona, he's muftach, that he'll never suffer from those three malachim that cause anger, bring anger of Hashem. So therefore, since there's no anger from Hashem for those who bench the Kavona, so therefore, we're miluchat, they made sure there's no end of fate in the whole of benching. Then they're not just in the first bracha, not benching. The Af, Shetzef, of Ketzef, the three malachim of anger, don't come to those who bench the Kavona. I also want to mention a few halachas that some people not so well. Mechaba writes that a person should not reply to, you're not allowed to talk to your benching, it's obvious, but that even if a king was to come to you and say to you hello, you're not allowed to reply to your benching. People are not so aware of that halacha. That if a king comes, the king comes and speaks to you during benching, you're not allowed to reply. Kavachim, the children or something like that. It's got that, in that level, it's got the end, the halachas of Shmoneh Esrei. That Shmoneh Esrei as well, the Gemara says the same halacha. That the chashivas of benching, and Mishnah is very ma'arich about the fact that the person is not allowed to do a malacha during benching, not allowed to start clearing the table, not allowed to motion with your hands, that's one of your children is doing something that which is irritating you. You can't like motion with your fingers, that's wrong, that's right. Other halachas, the person holds that there is praise people that hold like this. Not, we don't stop what the Shulchan Aruch Rav talks about it, but the Maaser Maskil, they pass the lot, that if a person bench without kavana, they should repeat benching. It's okay, why is such a thing? We don't follow it, halacha the Maaser, but our praise people that hold that if a person bench without kavana, he has to repeat benching. A person has to be able to hear, the chatchila person to hear every word of benching. That means, sometimes a person says it so quietly that they're moving the lips, but not hearing the words. The yotze of the yavet, but the chatchila wants to hear every word of his own benching. When the Maaser Mishpatim brings it to halacha, that before benching, when it's the chatchila mechuyav to say, to have kavana, I'm about to do a mitzvah seder ba'isa benching, just like in the rule stand before shofar Rosh Hashanah, we say the shemichot, we say all the kavanas, because we know about a mitzvah seder ba'isa. Which benching is no less, there's a chiyuv. Before benching, Yotze, one is Yotze, we pass the one is Yotze without it. But you have one is Yotze without Kavanah, that we do Mr. Sin. And the Chatchila, one has to have Kavanah before benching, and about when we can Mr. Sin to Lysa. Person has to be aware that benching, even if a person ate while they're walking around, for benching, one has to sit. One's not allowed to slouch, one's not allowed to lean, and the person has to. The Mishavu brings is also from the Zohar Kodesh that the person should bench be'ema or be'yura. There has to be a certain grimness from the person's benching. It should be done with a lack of chashivas. It's also, one has to be aware that if there's a bad smell in the room, one's not allowed to bench. Sometimes people are not so macked, especially with little children, they have to be careful. If there's a downstairs bathroom, the person has to be careful. The same halachas of davening apply to benching. So one's not allowed to bench in a place where there's a bad smell if a person needs to go to the bathroom. So he said some of the halachas of benching. It's something which is always like a mitzvah which has become not given that same chashivus which other mitzvahs have been given. And it's a pity. We said many from the Rikeach and from the Chinuch. The Chinuch tells us that a person benches the Kavod is guaranteed panosa. And the Rikeach says that all the malachim of anger after the Shvoch Hu, that finish the end of fate, they don't attack, they don't harm somebody that benches the Kavana. The other halachas, I just want to say a couple more that Mishnah Berurah says that Chatchila one has to bench from inside, Kavana from inside, even though the other ones, but Mishnah Berurah does bring down the halacha, when the person benches, they should bench from a written ksav, not about that. The Mishmur also says that a person has to be dressed like you would be meeting a king when he benches. Don't have that for Shmal and Mashal. For Shmal, one's not Mechuyev. For Shmal, one's not Mechuyev to be sitting like a king. But for benching, one is Mechuyev as one would be meeting a king. So for many people, they have their back pit, they have the jacket, each person puts their own hogam. But that the Ikha Halacha is, a person has to realize how would you behave if meeting a king? Say that, I'd say, Baruch Hashem, we've got next Magid Shir coming in. So I want to finish off that. we should be zeicher to can this mitzvah, this murdika mitzvah, the kavana to bench for bochum, and to be zeicher to all the bochas and avtochas that come with it.
I'm going to make sure I'm going to go to the restaurant. 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 I'm going to go